Well, can I say I'm very glad and delighted to have the privilege to be with you again here in your monthly meeting in London. It is a privilege and it is a joy to each year come down and have the privilege of speaking at your meeting. And we trust that the Lord will bless us again as we come around his word. I'm sure you have been blessed as you have followed what has been said of all of these other tribes in the past months and through the past ministry of God's word. But we would look again. This is the last meeting this year, but we would call upon God. We would look to God to bless us again tonight as we come to his truth. Perhaps we could just read some more verses from the Word of God, turning this time over to the book of Deuteronomy and to the chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Let's just read some more of the Word of God this evening, and may the Lord bless again his own word to our hearts. That's what we have come here to hear, not man's opinions, not man's thoughts, but exactly what God is saying. So let's read here from the verse 1 just off this 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Have you noticed that? We have read tonight the words of a man about to leave this world. And here again we have another man about to depart the scene of time. But he's speaking about the future. He's speaking about the future. I want you to mark that. I want you to mark that. The Christian's hope stretches far, far beyond death. And he's blessing Israel before his death here, we're told, in verse 1. Verse 2, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Shushan when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou my help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Urim, Thurim, and Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not up. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Amen, and may God bless again this reading from his own precious word to our hearts. It's not hard tonight to pick out the words of our text. We want to draw your attention here to the words in Deuteronomy, verse 12, and of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And then again, those words that we have read from Genesis chapter 49 and the verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. With God's word before us, and before coming to the subject tonight, and we seek the Lord again for his help and blessing upon us. Gracious God, we thank thee for the privilege that is ours to gather in this place tonight. We thank thee for the health and strength to be here. We thank thee for the desire to be here. This has been placed within our hearts by the grace and the mercy of God. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the freedom to be here. Just tonight, Father, we heard on the 6 o'clock news and reminded again of those men who lost their lives because they were Christians. Lord, we are mindful of the fact that had this world its way, every mention of thy name would be stamped out. Had wicked men their way, there would be no Bible. There would be no gospel freedom to preach thy word. Therefore, O gracious God, we meet here tonight under the special care of our God. And Lord, our prayer is that thou would bless the preaching of thy word to the glory of thy name. Vindicate thy truth. Extend the borders of thy kingdom. And bless these meetings here in London month by month. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that there is a blessed hope set before the people of God. What we are experiencing now is not the length and the breadth of our blessing. Oh, we praise thee now. There is a better day ahead. And we look for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our God and of his Christ. Oh, we pray to thee, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly and visit us. Visit us here tonight with a little foretaste of that blessing that is ahead for thy church. Come and reveal thyself to us. Fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ as we look into God's word tonight, and as we gather around this tribe, as it were, Lord, instruct us, enlighten us, and lead us forward to the glory and the honor of God. Hear us now. Fill us with thy spirit, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. The patriarch Jacob had the great privilege of gathering all of his sons around him here at the close of his life. He gathers them to him, and he speaks to them about the future. We read of this event, and have read tonight of this event, and I'm sure you've read it numerous times, if not on every occasion this year. This tremendous family gathering at the close of the life of this man, Jacob. And in this fact, we observe that Jacob had a privilege that neither his grandfather nor his father enjoyed. Jacob here is entering in, as it were, to territory that none of those two great men who went before him, Abraham or Isaac, ever enjoyed. For as each of these men approached the closing moments of their lives, as each of them approached death and surveyed that generation that would follow them, they were unable to gather a united family. They were unable to gather a family there in its entirety. There was rather a pruning work, a severing work that had taken place. Think of Abraham. And as Abraham approached death, Ishmael had no part in the blessing. Ishmael had no place in God's blessing. He was severed. Paul records the words, you'll know them well, over there in the book of Galatians and the chapter 4. Galatians 4. And at the verse 30, he records these words, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. What a sad day that was for the descendants of Abraham. There was a severing. Again, if you turn to the book of Genesis in the chapter 25, you'll read of a further severing there in Abraham's family as death approached for the friend of God, for Abraham. Chapter 25, and I'm thinking here of the verse 6. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts. Mark now these words. And sent them away from Isaac his son. You see, there was one son of promise, Isaac. And he would inherit the blessing. And the other sons here, Abraham sends them away while he yet lived. So Abraham, as he approached death, as I have said, there was a pruning that took place. There was a severing that took place within his family. Then when it comes to Isaac, we find as well They are the two sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. But one has passed over. One has no place in the inheritance and the blessing of God. So very clearly then tonight, when we come here to chapter 49 of God's word and come to this scene as now Jacob goes the way of all the earth, in the onward march of Israel's history, we are entering now into new territory. For here are all the sons of Jacob. Here are all the sons. Every one of them's here. And they're all named. Now from this divinely given prophecy, for that's what we have in this place, let us never forget that. From this divinely given prophecy, there is what we have, God's blessing upon each of these tribes. That's what we have here, prophecy. Jacob is looking out into the future. He's looking out into the future for each and every son. And as you read your Bible, you will discover that prophecy is always there in the midst of God's people. It has always got a place in the message that the people of God have proclaimed. You read the Apostle Paul as he went out and preached the gospel into new regions. But those new churches that he established, it is very, very evident from what he says that right away he has them grounded in the great doctrine of Christ's coming again. I was just thinking there tonight as our brother was speaking of those lovely words of Paul writing to Titus. And there, writing to that young man, he said at the verse 13 of the chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That, my friend, tonight is the heart of the gospel message. That is part and parcel of all that God says to you and me this evening. And this is the hope of God's people. God's people have a hope for the future, a hope that stretches out into eternity, but a hope also for Christ's coming again and what will follow. And here in this chapter 49, you will discover that what we have here is Isaac speaking what God has given him to speak. Nothing else, you see, nothing else could have given Isaac grounds for saying what he says here at this time, but the fact God had given these words to him. And when he calls his family together here, he's calling them together to hear God's word. This is not a man speaking with insight, but he's a man speaking forth what God has declared to him. That's why he calls this gathering into being. You look at the verses 1 and 2 here. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. He's speaking here things that will certainly come to pass. And having made these general remarks this evening, I want to specifically come to the subject that has been allotted to us to look at tonight. That is to think upon Benjamin, and to think upon God's blessing upon this tribe as she stands as part of the family of God. There's a little verse that was drawn to my attention in the Psalm numbered 68, and the verse 27. Psalm 68, verse 27, there is little Benjamin with their brother. Oh, I want you to see tonight God's little Benjamin. I want you to see God's little Benjamin tonight with their ruler. That is the blessing of God upon this tribe. But tonight, as we think upon this tribe, as we seek to gather together some thoughts regarding her, I want to just simply impress upon your minds four things about this tribe. And every time you think about this tribe, I want you to think about these four things. First of all, tonight, as we study this tribe and what Jacob here is inspired to say of her, what Moses is inspired to say of her, and what other facts we can gather up from other places in Scripture, I want us to say first of all tonight a little about the birth of this tribe, or I want you to take you back to the beginning. I want you to take you back to the beginning. Back to the one who was in fact the head of this tribe. And you will find a very markedly sad, sad, mournful entrance Benjamin had into this world. We find that story given to us over there in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, and the verse 17. And it came to pass when she, that is Rebekah, Rachel. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, for his father, what his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave. Unto this day. Oh, here's a sad chapter in the story of Jacob. This boy who would head up this tribe that we're looking at tonight was robbed of his mother at his very birth. He would grow up never to know her loving embrace. He would grow up never having heard her comforting words, her words of instruction, her words of counsel. What a sad beginning this was. From Benjamin's very entrance into this world, he was face to face with the sad reality of death. That which others have to come to terms with when they're a little bit more mature. This boy, even as he comes into the world, is face to face with death. Well, how many there are tonight and they don't want to think about death. But death is a reality. We have back in our own little gospel witness in Roderan in South Wales, we've been conducting some gospel meetings and advertising those meetings around our local area. And really, our theme for our gospel mission was, where will you spend eternity? And the literature that we were giving out mentions death. And so many people don't want to think about death. We received a number of phone calls from folk complaining about our literature. The sad reality is that those who phone up and complained all profess to be Christians. But oh, you can't mention death. Well, my friend, tonight death is a reality. We all must needs die. We all will die. God says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And here was a young lad. And from his earliest days, he is face to face with death. For death has taken his mother at his birth. But as we investigate the circumstances here, we discover that he grew up also under the shadow of sorrow. Now think about it tonight. Was there ever a day when Jacob looked upon this lad, but he was reminded of, in a most tangible fashion, of the sorrow of a beloved wife lost? Oh, there was sorrow here in this home, even by the very presence of Benjamin. We have to say as well, as we look here at Benjamin's earliest days, we have to see here that he was acquainted with loss. He lost his mother. But then he lost also his elder brother, Joseph. That second loss surely compounded the situation here. Death, sorrow, loss. This was the experience of this lad as he grew up. But then there's more. There's more. Is there not in the narrative of God's word clear indication that in this home there was suspicion, there was strife? Yes, there was tension here. This comes out, if you recall the words of Jacob when he was asked to send Benjamin down to Egypt with his brethren. When Joseph had called for him to go down, of course Joseph at this stage is not yet revealed unto either Jacob or unto his brethren. And in Genesis chapter 42 and in the verse 36, we read there these words, "And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." There's tension here. There's strife here. Oh, there is suspicion here. I think it's pretty clear that by now Jacob has begun to realize there's more to Joseph's disappearance than at first appeared. There's a hidden secret here that is upsetting the very fabric of this family. And tonight, we can see clearly from this that Benjamin's early days were filled with many sorrows. In this, of course, he reminds us of our Savior. He came into this world in the midst of death. This world did not greet Christ with open arms at his first coming. The Bible tells us that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Over there in the book of Hebrews and in the chapter 5, we have a verse that is always caused me to stop and to think. It's a most sobering verse. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 8. For we read there, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Oh, let us never forget. Let us never forget that in this world we are surrounded by death. We're surrounded by sorrow. We're surrounded by loss. We're in the midst today of a society that is in strife and in all facing all sorts of tensions. Oh, there's a guilty secret that lies hidden underneath. This week, we have all been acquainted with that home where the police have found a number of bodies. There was a secret hidden in the garden. Well, this family had a secret. A terrible secret. That's the environment that this lad grew up in. But I think as well, as we seek to piece together the story of Benjamin and set it in its context here, I think we have to give attention as well, not only to his birth, not only to his beginning, but I think we have to pay attention here to his name. Oh, think about this name. Benjamin, son of my right hand. This was not the name that his mother gave him as she departed this scene of time. Benoni was the name that she gave him, indicating her sorrow, indicating her pain, her anguish. In Genesis chapter 35, in the verse 18, we read these words, and it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But, mark this, but his father called him Benjamin. So Benjamin is his second name. While he is called by his mother the son of my sorrow, he is now renamed by his father the son of my right hand. This shows us indeed tonight, here was a boy beloved of his father. Although born in sorrow, born in great sorrow and grief, his father gave him a new name, a better name. The son of my right hand. The son very dear to me, set on my right hand for a blessing, for a support of my age, like the staff of my right hand. What does that remind us of tonight? What does that remind us of tonight? Does Christ not carry that name this evening? Has he not been given that name? Turn over to Mark's Gospel, the chapter 5 and the verse 7. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5 and the verse 7. We read there in that place, Mark 5, verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do? What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. This is the name of Christ. Thou Son, Son of the Most High God. In Luke chapter 1 and in the verse 32, Luke chapter 1 and the verse 32, we read there these words, he shall be called, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Isn't those wonderful words? He who is identified in the scriptures as the man of sorrows is identified here as what? As the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, the Son of the Highest. Then compare what we read here in Luke chapter 1 verse 32 with what we read over in the 6th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Because I think there's a very interesting contrast here. Because in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, we read these words. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, rather. But love ye your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, that your reward and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Of the highest. Oh, you see tonight, for those who are in Jesus Christ this evening, we have entered in, and we have entered into Christ's blessing. He is called the Son of the Highest. And we, because of Him, because of Christ, because of what He has done on Calvary's middle tree, we are now also the children of the Highest. The Son of my right hand. Yes, by nature we are children of sorrow. But we are made through the grace of God. We are made through the grace of God. And we are called by Christ's name, the children of the Highest. But the third thing to take note of here is the character of Benjamin. That's the third thing that I want you to grasp about Benjamin. Remember his beginning. Remember his birth. Remember the sorrow. Remember the turmoil. Remember all the strife and the upheaval of his youth. Remember his name. But oh, we come now to what Isaac had to say of this son Benjamin. What Isaac had to say of little Benjamin. And let's read the words here in Genesis chapter 49 and the verse 27. Because here we have his character. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Benjamin, little Benjamin, shall raven as a wolf. The wolf is a carnivore, an animal suited for catching, killing, eating, and devouring other creatures. It's a sly, cunning, crafty creature. It's a creature that, when one begins to think of, is always active, always about this task of hunting down its prey, of devouring its prey. It's full of activity. Ravening, devouring, dividing the prey. And to my understanding, there are two ways that this description fits exactly into the character of the history of this tribe, Benjamin. To a devastating effect, we see this character at work in a very bad sense, in the days of the judges. Towards the end of the book of Judges there, you will find the tribe of Benjamin sadly rising up to defend the wickedness of Gibeah. What unspeakable wickedness took place in that time and in that situation? We'll not take the time tonight to look into it, but what terrible wickedness took place there. And Benjamin rose up to fight with his own brethren to defend that wickedness. And I think you have there in Benjamin acting in that place, you have human activity without God. You have human activity without God. Benjamin bearing this characteristic, all right, but without God. And it leads to her defending what she should never have been defending. That is borne out presently in Israel. And as the days roll on, and as God's word reveals to us, that will be borne out in the history of the whole nation of Israel. Israel without God will defend that which she should never defend. She will take part in that which she should never take part in. Human activity without God. You have that in the church today. God's people defending that which should never be defended. But then you have this activity, little glimpses of it throughout history, in a good sense. Mordecai, that central character there in the history of Esther. Mordecai was of the tribe of Benjamin. If you turn over to the book of Esther, Esther chapter 2 and the verse 5. Esther 2, 5, you will read there that Mordecai was of this tribe. Now, in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Now, in Mordecai, you have an example of this activity, but now under the harness of God. And as you follow the story through, I think you cannot help but see the resemblance in Mordecai to the wolf acting alone. Because the wolf sometimes does act alone. Sometimes it acts in a group. But in the case of Mordecai, he's acting alone. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. And even though Mordecai is a captive, yet there is there a little example, a little foretaste of what is yet to be in the blessing of God. He's acting individually. Can I say that this tribe you will find acting as a pack? Because that, as I say, the wolf has that double activity. Sometimes it will act, it will prey alone, but sometimes in a group. And if you turn to 1 Chronicles and the chapter 12, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, covering a lot of ground here, but there are many, many things to say upon this subject. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and the verse 29. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For hitherto the greater part of them had kept the ward of Saul. They come over here to help David, even though they're of Saul. They join in with the company of David. And there's 3,000 of them. So here are examples of this activity that's spoken of in Jacob's words in action. But you will remember as well that there are two other characters in Scripture from this tribe that even in their own lives betray these two sides of this matter. Activity outside of God's blessing and activity under the harness of God. They're the two Sauls of Scripture. King Saul in the Old Testament and Saul of Tarshish in the New. To begin with, of course, King Saul was a force for good, harnessed to the will of God. In the latter part of his life, he turned from God and became a force for evil in the nation. While Saul of Tarshish, who later became known as Paul, to begin with, he was active outside the will of God. But when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, that same energy, that same activity that's spoken of here was harnessed to the blessing of God's church and to the advancing of God's cause. Well, these are things we need to consider as we take on board this tribe and God's blessing upon her. We need to consider here Benjamin in his beginning. Benjamin, the name. We need to consider here the character. But let me come lastly tonight to set before you one last thought. That is the dwelling of this tribe. The dwelling of this tribe. And what a blessed inheritance she has. And I turn you here to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and the verse 12. Listen to these words of Moses. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. Little Benjamin, this little tribe, is seen here in this verse with her ruler. With her ruler. Benjamin enjoying the blessing of God. The beloved of the Lord. The one upon whom the Lord has set his love and his favor, dwelling where? In safety. In safety by him. She's there beside her ruler. She's there overshadowed with her ruler. The Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Benjamin here is dwelling right close by her Lord. Right close by her Lord. What's the hope tonight for Israel? What's the hope tonight for the Church of Jesus Christ? Is it in man? Is it in the schemes of man? Is it from any earthly source? No, it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. Oh, I tell you, the world has not seen yet the fulfillment of these words. There are aspects in all of this that have yet to be fulfilled. And this is where the beloved of the Lord shall ever dwell, in safety with the Lord. There they shall be covered from every attack of the enemy. Every attack of the enemy. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. Oh, the hope of the people of God. And I trust tonight your hope is not in man, not in ministers, not in churches, not in schemes, but in the Lord. I think of those words. I was just reading them a few days ago in Amos chapter 9. At the close of the chapter, verse 13, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people, of Israel. And they shall build the waste places, and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of it." When has that happened? Is that not what man is seeking to do ever and by all his schemes, is to pull her out of it? "They shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God." The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. By who? By the Lord. Safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. I wonder this evening, does God speak in such terms of you tonight? Are you one of God's beloved? Does the God of heaven speak of you as his beloved? The beloved of the Lord. What a term is this. What a term is this. There's not one of the sons of Jacob deserve God's grace and God's mercy. As we said earlier on, there wasn't one foundation for Jacob saying what he had to say of each of the tribes as he looked around that company that day. And he doesn't pass over their sins. He doesn't pass over their sins. He doesn't hide their sins. He in that chapter declares their sin. But God set his love upon them. Are you the beloved of the Lord tonight? Are you under his mercy? Are you under his grace? If you are, you have a blessed, blessed inheritance. You're safe. You're secure tonight. The Lord is by your side. The Lord is your safety. The Lord, he covereth you. Oh, tonight, do not forget the dwelling place of Benjamin. By God's grace, she's safe by the side of her Lord. Oh, tonight, if you're in this meeting outside of Christ, if you're in this meeting a stranger to God's grace, to God's mercy, our desire is, our longing is, that you would come to know the love of God as is revealed in Jesus Christ. That you would come to enter into the blessings of God's people. The Lord tonight stands with open arms, welcoming all. Oh, will you not come and know his safety, his security, and enter in to this wonderful inheritance that belongs to the people of God. And look out to the future, not fearing what's coming, but look out to the future with hope and expectation, and with confidence, knowing that that future is in the hands of God, and that future is with the Lord, dwelling safely forevermore. Oh, I trust tonight that God will bless his word to our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen.